Melissa and I both graduated university at the same time, and we started thinking about our own journey towards financial freedom. For me personally, financial freedom meant living a safe life away from violence as well. I came to Australia to escape gendered violence in Pakistan, but I found financial independence meant that I was safe in the now. My future was always very uncertain. I was always walking a very thin line between going back to that life of violence. And so I started thinking about what does financial security for women in the long term mean? And as Melissa and I embarked on this journey, we found a real dearth of knowledge. We thought, why don't we put it together in a format that is also easily accessible for other people just like us who are also on this journey? And it's not just accessible, it is also fun and engaging, because so that's where Money Girl came about from. Really, it was to address our own need for financial literacy.
And why is financial literacy such a pressing issue? You've touched upon it with its links to domestic violence, but could you elaborate?
An average Australian woman who, let's say, goes to university and graduates, when she enters the workforce, she might be getting paid similar to her male counterparts, but as years progress, her gender pay gap will remain at about 14%, okay? And then in her 30s and 40s, most likely she will take time out for carer responsibilities. And that might not just be children, it might be parents of herself, her partners, etc. These responsibilities still fall primarily on women in Australia. By the time she returns to the workforce, she will have given up, one, super all those years, two, pay rises and promotions. So by the time she is coming back, that 14% pay gap is now significantly more. So by the time she retires, she will have about 47% less in her superannuation than her male counterparts. Meanwhile, women in Australia still live on average about 5 years longer than men. So what then happens is, over 55, she then experiences a higher chance of becoming homeless and destitute. So you see, the impact of financial illiteracy is not just money mismanagement in the now and today. It has a long-term compounding impact on the overall well-being and safety of a woman. A woman particularly, although everybody experiences the problem of financial illiteracy, you see some of these things have a more gendered impact. Money Girl's goal is to empower every young woman with the right education and skills so she is able to make sound financial decisions for their future.
Describe your experience in managing your own startup and its business model.
Money Girl is a for-profit social enterprise. What that means is we do charge for our services and we do make money, so we're not a charity or a nonprofit. What we do, however, is we have a cross-subsidization model whereby our B2B customers subsidize the cost for our B2C customers, in very simple terms, that when young women as individuals come to us and need financial education but might not necessarily be able to access it, we are able to give them partial or full scholarship funded by our own profits and sometimes by partnerships. That is how Money Girl works to make financial literacy more accessible. How we were able to do it, it was, I would say, definitely a challenge as young women and young women of color to get people to take the idea of an alternative business model more seriously, because there is a very westernized idea of what a business can look like or what a solution to a problem can and should look like.
Having Money Girl be a out-of-box solution, how did you go about developing the course itself?
where we designed the solution was an intersection of grassroots community knowledge, subject matter expert knowledge, and academic knowledge. In Australia, it's the only evidence-based financial education course that exists.
What did you learn in your past roles that you transfer to MoneyGo?
So I had experience working in the nonprofit sector, primarily with refugees, and also at the University of Sydney. I had worked primarily with women because I was the women's officer there, and later I was the president of their student union. My experience was working with an intersection of youth, primarily women and women of color. I had seen a lot of these experiences play out in real life, not just in my life, because I was this young person experiencing all these problems as well, but also in my peers, you know. So I had this validation that my experience is in no way unique, unfortunately. Women everywhere, every day, are experiencing violence because of various different reasons, one of them being financial control.
Now, Mariam, looking towards the future, what would you keep, change, and create to increase financial literacy for future generations?
I would keep an evidence-based financial education course. The reason for that is there's heaps of Band-Aid solutions out there, but that is not what we need. Band-Aid solutions have existed for decades, and so has the problem. They don't work. What I would change is financial literacy being made accessible to people at a very young age, in like whether that is the formal education system or informal education system, but age-appropriate financial education all the way from childhood to retirement. Create a model of financial education that can be adapted and implemented across the world. Just fix the problem